Rob Perez is co-host of Buckets with Cassidy Hubbarth. Action Network is where you can find him. But on Twitter, you can find him sleuthing as Sherwob Holmes. He is Worldwide Wob. He is Rob Perez here on 95.7 The Game. And if we got you back on, Rob, that means basketball is close, and that means I'm happy again. How you doing, man?
You figure this is the time period. It's the end of the preseason where the NBA just kind of lays low for a couple days, right? We can maybe take a little vacation, get away from all the rookies, you know, showing out during the preseason. Nope. This, of course, Jimmy Butler thing hits the fan today, and you were referring to the sleuthing. In between the time it took me to call into you guys, and now Jeff Teague is putting out some cryptic messages on Instagram with only emojis, and he's since deleted it. So it never stops. It really does. Like I in the 15 minutes I'm going to talk to you, something else is probably going to happen.
Absolutely. It's amazing how fluent you need to be in emojis to even understand modern NBA social media communication. Luckily, Rob, we need you on that wall. We want you on that wall, and you are our guy on that wall. Before we even get into Warriors and Lakers, let's catch up anyone who might have had an early business meeting today on this Jimmy Butler story. As you might have heard, everyone, Jimmy Butler has been requesting a trade, which is a weird thing to do in the month of September. He requested a trade just a couple weeks ago, and the Timberwolves kind of want a God offer back for him. They have gotten close, maybe with one or two teams, and then have been pulled away from that deal by Tom Thibodeau, who might want to make things happen with Butler. And this is probably a situation where people should have read the tea leaves. Jimmy showed up to practice for the first time today, and him and the Scrabinis, the guys who won't even be on the team come opening night, rolled the balls out and beat the first team Timberwolves while Jimmy was screaming and raining profanities on every level of the organization. Rob, take it away.
They tried to warn the Timberwolves this was going to happen. I mean, he has to show up to practice eventually for the collective bargaining agreement, but this is a really unprecedented situation that the Timberwolves are in. The first thing I thought of was when Kobe, back in the day, demanded a trade from the Lakers. Like, that flies under the radar, that he said, trade me. And he took it out on poor Smush Parker. He emasculated that man into retirement, and he did that to make a point that you need to get me out of here. But why this situation with the Timberwolves is different is because Jimmy, it's not against Smush Parker. It's against Karl Anthony Towns, and it's against Andrew Wiggins, are the cornerstones of the Minnesota franchise for the next 5 years. They are making almost $350 million between the two of them for the next half decade. So unfortunately, they're married, right? That was a business transaction that took place between, we are going to commit to Towns and Wiggins. So now Jimmy Butler, being in a situation that he's coming off in injury, he's not getting along with his teammates. He's got just 1 year left on his deal, and he's not going to get paid. He has all the leverage in the world here, and he has leverage to do what he did today, going full scorched earth because Tom Thibodeau refuses to make a deal. I don't know if it's him posturing, maybe to get something better, but, you know, that's the situation right now. And if you are the Minnesota Timberwolves, that front office, Tom Thibodeau is not just the coach. He is not just, he's not technically the GM. He's the president of basketball operations. You can't hit the reset button anymore, right? You would have to get rid of the entire Timberwolves front office before the first week of the season. That's not possible. So, like, what are you supposed to do? The answer here is you trade Jimmy. But if Thibodeau's not going to trade Jimmy, then guess what? We're going to enter a stalemate into the season, and he's going to poison the well for as long as he sees fit.
It is unbelievable. You talk about the pettiness of the NBA. It is on full display. And we still have got, what, 6 days before the Warriors actually tip off for real against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Rob Perez, co-host of Buckets over on Action Network. You follow him on Twitter at Worldwide Wob, one of the best NBA follows there is. And obviously, Warriors and Lakers, I don't think I needed this in the preseason. I would have liked to have saved the main entree for Christmas Day and then again on whenever they're going to meet, MLK Day, yeah. Whenever these teams are going to be matching up, we're going to get them more than just twice a year because they're obviously in the same conference. But you know, Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL and the Raiders season is dead on arrival. So I'll take this right now, Rob. There's no doubt about it. What do you make of the fifth year of the Steve Kerr era? There's a lot of noise coming out of the Warriors about Durant that really wasn't noise that they had to deal with in years past.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're the Warriors this year, like, how do you go into the regular season caring? Because you've proven at this point you'd be the 1-8 seed, and they're probably going to win everything at some point. So the 73-win campaign showed these guys that having to play Game 7 of the Finals every single night takes its toll, because you end up blowing a 3-1 lead for whatever reason. They're not going to chase that ever again, you know, that unless they feel like if it matters to them that they want to be known as the best team of all time. That's ultimately what it's going to take to have the best single season. But they're 3-4 years. Like, Kevin Durant is going for a third straight Finals MVP. You know, it'll be the biggest challenge for them during the regular season. We'll just be showing up every single night and trying to figure out a way that we can keep that same Game 7 playoff energy for 82 games during the regular season.
With all the noise about Durant leaving his options open and really not giving the flowery overtures to, of course, I'm not leaving this situation, Warrior fans want to hear, it does set a weird tone for the year, but in a way with Durant, you know, I sort of respect it because he is the checks and balances on the Warriors. And you should always have some checks and balances. And Durant has enough credibility to say, if I left the room with my talent, your room would officially be diminished. And that's a tough thing to do. So keep your room good. Keep your room tight. I think the Warriors are going to put a huge offer in front of them. They're going to offer them more money and more chance to win, which I really think, whatever the wanderlust is right now, might be enough to just keep them right here. Like, to me, there's only one good solution for Kevin Durant. Sign a 5-year deal with the Warriors and hope that in the next 5 years, Seattle gets a team, win so many championships that you got nothing left to win, and you go to Seattle where you will then, everyone who called you a snake would call you a god for trying to give like a little life back to the Sonics. Like, that could work. Anything else, I think he's a villain.
Yeah, there's two solutions here. The first of which is he re-signs that max deal. Maybe he does another 1+1. If he stays with the Warriors, there's advantages. You get to play on the best team in the league. You get to go down as arguably the greatest dynasty in basketball history, because if the Hamptons five sticks together for another run, they're losing to nobody unless there is a devastating career-ending injury to one of those five guys. So you can stay there. You can open the Chase Center. You can play in front of the world's Silicon Valley tech titans, right, which is alluring to someone that's as involved in that industry as Kevin Durant is. That all makes sense. But let's say he does end up winning his third straight Finals MVP this year. You brought up the point right there that his public perception amongst mainstream basketball is that he's a quote-unquote snake, that he took the easy way out. He will have proved at this point, winning 3 straight Finals MVPs, that I've done it. Like, I've got my rings. I'm headed to the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be regarded, no matter what happens from this point forward, as one of the best basketball players to ever play this game. So what's left for me to accomplish? One, I can just leave basketball completely and go into business and go into Silicon Valley. Or two, do I go to a place like Seattle where I'm beloved, like we saw in the preseason game? Or is there a team out there like the New York Knicks that if I somehow brought basketball back to the Mecca, they wouldn't build me a statue. They would build me a tower, right? That's what New York would do, and it's been waiting for someone like Kevin Durant to show up to resurrect basketball in the city that gave it birth. So while I'm not saying that's going to happen, he's going to have to make that decision as to what he wants to do next with his career. The same way LeBron said, you know what, moving to L.A., getting my kids into that school that he can play AAU at the school I want him to. I can continue to produce movies and shows and be L.A. local. That was an important move for him. So it's going to be what's best for Kevin Durant more so than what's best for Kevin Durant's basketball career. He's done it all.
I tell you, Kevin Durant's personality in New York would be the worst decision Kevin Durant could make. I think his rabbit ears would be absolutely crushed by an overzealous New York media. If he can't handle the Bay Area media at times, and we're the softest thing you've ever rubbed up against in your life out here, I have no idea how he could handle it back on the East Coast. Rob Perez is joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Obviously, LeBron in L.A. is going to be a massive story all year long. How do you think his mindset approaches year one with the Lakers? Do you think he's going to go Warpath, try to be MVP, show everyone how good I am, selfish LeBron? Or is that not in his DNA and he's going to look to team build right away and figure out Lonzo, Ingram, who are my running mates over the next 4 years?
He certainly wants to, the latter option there. He doesn't want to have to be that LeBron James that played 45 minutes a game for the Cavs just to make it through the Eastern Conference last year. The whole reason for signing with the Lakers in the first place was so that he wouldn't have to do that. So LeBron naturally, he doesn't have that Mamba mentality of just give me the ball and I'm going to score. He makes his teammates better, and it's an initiative for him to make them better. Here's the problem, is that the opening week of more so the first 10 games of the season for the Lakers, I've studied this thing front and back. I can make a legitimate case that the Lakers are going to go 1-6 to start the season. And granted, they're going to lose a couple coin flip games to the Spurs and at Dallas, but they're playing at Portland. They've got the Rockets. And if the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James on the team, this is as high profile as it gets. If they go 1-6 out of the gates, technically, could they turn it around and make the playoffs? Yeah. But there is going to be so much pressure, and the spotlight is going to be so bright on this team that whole mentality of, you know what, let's let Ingram experiment going ISO in the fourth quarter. If they're 1-5, guess what? We're not doing that anymore. I need to go win us some damn games. And that's what he's going to have to do. And we've got the whole Laker division amongst their fan base of the Kobe disciples, the LeBron disciples, and the Laker fans that just want the team to be great again. And for every loss, the middle ground there, the moderates, are going to lean more towards those Kobe disciples that are throwing paint on the murals, and the pressure is going to build on LeBron to, you were supposed to be the next Kobe. You're not the next Kobe. And that's going to happen in October? We're talking October here? Not June, October.
Oh,
replacing the we're talking about practice? We're talking about October, Damon.
The pettiness is amazing. It really is. I don't think LeBron really factored in the I'm going to be measured versus Kobe everywhere I go. I don't think he thought about that coming to the Lakers. I thought that he would be seen as a savior with open arms. He was not received that way. Like you said, they're vandalizing the mural. Have you noticed that he has not done that? What an honor it is to be a Laker. Oh, the purple and the gold, like the history, the this, the that. Like, he has not gone out of his way to give the Laker fans the hug that I think he's pissed off he hasn't gotten from them.
Well, I will say that even he will acknowledge that he's a mercenary in a sense of being one of those Laker has grown throughout the organization, like the Kobe's and the Magic's and everyone that has a statue outside of Staples Center. They were with the Lakers for generations from beginning to end. This is likely one of, if not the last stops for LeBron along the way. Do I think he's thinking about, these Laker fans aren't treating me the same way that Cavs fans did when I get drafted? I don't think so, just because he hasn't really earned that yet with them, nor does he really expect it. He's there to do a job. He's there to make the Lakers great again, in a sense. And I think that's all that really matters to him. Because, again, he's gotten so big at this point that LeBron James is not just a basketball player. He's a brand. He wants to do so much more than go out there and win championships. And being in L.A. and playing for the Lakers, regardless of if the fans love him or not, is part of his grand be the next billionaire basketball player that Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan were before him.
Rob, great stuff with you, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope to talk to you throughout this exciting season that's about to tip off next week. I got to go back to last year, though, for your final question. I'm going to give you my pettiest final four, and then you select the champion from these four moments of pettiness. Which is last year's petty champion? Paul Pierce versus Isaiah Thomas, don't honor him on my jersey retirement night. J.R. Smith hurling a bowl of soup. The Rockets trying to storm the Clippers locker room, or James Harden killing Wesley Johnson with a crossover?
If we're first speaking in terms of just pettiness here, Paul Pierce trying to make the night about himself, don't talk about Isaiah Thomas, is up there. And it's up there because if you remember what happened during that game, LeBron James beat the Celtics by about 55 points. And he was on the court pointing and laughing at the Celtics players because they waited till after the game to do the ceremony. So everything regarding that situation, from Paul Pierce trying to make a night about himself to getting it completely blown out by LeBron, that would probably take the crown amongst those four.
Excellent. Great stuff, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us, man. Enjoy it. We'll obviously be watching. Love you on Twitter. You're the best. You're the funniest. Keep on sleuthing this Jeff Teague Instagram post, and I'm sure you'll have conclusion for us by the end of business today.
I'm headed right back to the timeline right now. Thanks for having me, guys.
He's on the case. Rob Perez, worldwide Sherlock Wobb.